It's time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and we want to welcome you to the program today. And as you can imagine, it's been a little busy with Hurricane Ike. Port Mercy has been a flurry of activity. We want to thank all the churches, the local individuals, and churches that have responded from Louisiana and Texas. It's wonderful to see that the body of Christ is responding with their faith in action. And we encourage you to continue to make those phone calls. It's not about friendships. It's not about Port Mercy. It's not about a denomination. It's about God being seen to a world that needs to see Him desperately right now. So we thank you and encourage you all to continue to be a part of that. Well, we have an interview today. Judging by the short little time we talked beforehand, this is going to be very good. We have Rebecca Seitz. Now, did I say that right? Is it Rebecca Seitz?
You did indeed.
Okay. Rebecca Seitz is she's a businesswoman, a novelist, a wife, and a mother. She's the founder of SistersInc.net. And in addition to her own literary work, she's the founder and president of Glass Road Public Relations, a firm dedicated to representing the works of entertainment from a Christian worldview. And why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, we get asked sometimes, does that mean that you only publicize things that present, that walk someone down the Roman road or that present how to become a Christian? And no, we don't. We don't only do evangelical things, because sometimes, and a lot of the times actually, God uses the little seeds along the way to build up to whoever gets the honor of leading the person down the Roman road. So the things that we publicize are stories and they're works of entertainment, much like when Jesus spoke in parables. That's really what we're after, is when someone can be entertained by a story, and in being entertained, they're seeing the world through a Christian's eyes, which is like when I'm writing my book, you know, obviously I can't check my faith at the door and write a story apart from how I see the world as a Christian. So every story I write and create, my worldview is coming through, just as it is with all of our clients.
Right.
And so when a non-Christian reads that, they're seeing that the world through the eyes of someone who has value in Christ and who sees the world through, hopefully, through Christ's eyes.
You received a bachelor's degree in communications and political science from the University of Tennessee at Martin. Is that correct?
I did. I thought I wanted to be a senator. And then I worked in D.C. for about 6 months and said, never mind. I have worked in government at a lot of different levels, at the state level, at the Tennessee State Capitol, and then I've worked on the Hill in D.C. I actually worked at the Family Research Council back when Gary Bauer was their president, and that was during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. So that was an interesting time to be in D.C. But what I figured out is that politics in America, you know, for good or bad, whether you like it this way or not, it really is a struggle for me to be in them, because you have to be very, very good at understanding hidden motives, at being able to say one thing in order to accomplish another. And some people are very, very good at that, and I'm grateful that we've got people like that on the Hill representing us, but it's just exhausting for me.
Yeah.
And so I would just rather, if I want you to do something, I would just rather be able to ask you to do that. So I thought, I can't do this the rest of my life, so I got out of politics.
Well, it sounds like you've been pretty busy. God's been keeping your plate pretty full. Have you learned how to put some of that on somebody else's plate, or...
That is a funny question. I have always done a lot. When I met the man who's now my husband, I think that was how God was going to get relaxation into my life, because when I met him, I was in law school, I was working 50 hours a week, I had just purchased my first home, and I was writing a novel at night. And he came to me, Charlie is my husband, and Charlie came to me about 2 weeks into the relationship, and he said, you know, something really needs to go here, and I'm hoping that you don't choose me, but if it's me, you need to get something off your plate. And I had never started something and then thought, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I've put too much on my plate before. It had never occurred to me to stop something. And I went, okay, well, let me think about that. And I dropped out of law school about a week later. And ever since then, he has said, I'm fairly certain, honey, that God gave us to each other so that I could teach you how to relax and calm down.
Has he been successful at that yet?
You know what? He has been much more successful than anyone else who's ever tried.
Well, Les, we heard you were pursuing a master's in mass communication at Murray State. Are you still doing that, or how's that coming along?
I still am. I should be finished with my master's in May, and I'm having a baby next month, so it's going to take until May. I can't finish this year. See, I still compromise.
Yeah.
But this little one will get to go to class with me for about 2 months.
How many children do you have?
This will be my second. My first one, I started the business 18 days. I started Glass Road PR 18 days before I gave birth to my first one. And he was actually, when he was 6 weeks old, he was at the International Christian Retail Show with me in Colorado working right alongside mommy in the stroller. So I figure, this one's got it easier. I'm not making her work. She's just going to class and sitting there.
Amen. Well, Rebecca, you know, I do want to talk about your book. Coming Unglued is one of your latest. I know you have another one coming out in January or February.
But I do. The one that follows Coming Unglued is Scrapping Plans, and that one's coming out in February of next year.
Okay. Now, do you write strictly novels of fiction, or do you write any nonfiction as well?
I have not written any nonfiction to date, although I do have one scheduled. I've never been a person who reads nonfiction. I own a lot of it because growing up, I always believed that the smart people read nonfiction and the lazy people read fiction, and so I bought a lot of nonfiction. So if you ever walk in my home, I look really smart. But most of those books, I probably read the first two chapters of and then put them on the shelf and said, okay, I know the general gist of that. What's really spoken to me and where I learn and understand life is through story. I really am the kind of believer who spends way more time in the parables than I do in the Sermon on the Mount. Not that I don't get anything out of the Sermon on the Mount. Of course I do. It's just God wired me to enjoy stories and to learn from stories. So I've always gone to those. Ever since I was a little girl, I memorized my first story when I was 4. And then I wrote my first one when I was 8. So I've always been a lover of stories. And so that's really, when I sit down to write, that's what I gravitate toward. Now, I'm writing a nonfiction because basically my agent told me to. There is no book out there right now that teaches Christian publicists how to publicize fiction. It's an area within publicity that is very underserved. Nonfiction publicists abound. There are lots of those. But fiction publicists, there are very few of us, and it really requires a different approach to the whole idea of publicity. So I'm going to be writing a book on how to do that, how to approach publicity from a fiction standpoint.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, if somebody did want to find out some more information on how to do this, could they get hold of you through your website, or what's the best way to talk to you about this?
Sure. If you want to talk about publicity, check out the business website, which is GlassRoadPR, as in public relations, .com. And there's some information on there about some things you can do yourself to help publicize your book and when to hire a publicist and when not to hire a publicist. And just different things that you can do yourself, because everyone doesn't have a budget to go out and hire a professional to handle their publicity campaign.
So there are some practical ways to get started, because let's face it, Christian people, the body of Christ, should be the most creative and artistic out there, because the creator of all things dwells within us. So we want to encourage people to pick up a pen, get on that computer, start writing. Well, listen, I'm trying to give them advice, and I've never written a book. Why don't you give them some quick pointers?
I get asked a lot, but I write a book. And I always say, if God's given you a book and you have that burden on your heart, absolutely you need to write a book, because he's probably not going to let it get out of your mind until you sit down and write it. I have some friends who have spent 7-8 years working on one story because it just won't leave them until they surrender to it and write it.
Yeah.
So now, that being said, please, please, please take the time to educate yourself as to how to do this excellently. We are told in Scripture that anything we do, we are supposed to do for the glory of God, and we're supposed to be doing that 110%. So I get frustrated when Christians go, well, it's just ministry, so it doesn't have to be that great. No, because it's ministry, it should be at a level of excellence above the world.
Amen.
So definitely educate yourself. Go to a writer's conference and search the web. There are plenty of Christian authors in this country who will help you out and help you figure out how to do this well.
Okay. We're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to Rebecca Seitz, and actually we're going to talk more about her new book called Coming Unglued. And speaking of stories, we're going to get into a little of her personal story. I think they're interconnected, so we'll be right back. An important message from Sondra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
Friendships is dispatching our disaster relief ships, Hope and Mercy, to Galveston, Texas, to respond to the devastation of Hurricane Ike. We would like to extend an invitation for church teams to join us. Help us to reach out with the love of Jesus to our neighbors in Galveston. Teams will stay aboard ship and be assigned out into the community or help us to support the operations at base camp. Projects will include food service, distribution of commodities, house-to-house ministry with roofing and chainsaw work, medical services, and evening church meetings. What an opportunity for the body of Christ to demonstrate the true nature and character of the great God we serve. For more information, visit our website at www.friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Okay, we're back with Rebecca Seitz, author of Coming Unglued. Now, Rebecca, I think it would be hard to separate this fictional story from some of your own personal story. So why don't you share a little bit, the best way you can, about this?
This is, of all the books I've written, this one really is the most personal because there's a lot of my life in it. I was married when I was 21 years old, and that marriage lasted for a year and a half, and it ended when I found out that he was cheating, and I did not actually end the marriage. After I found out that he was cheating, I had decided I was going to forgive, and we were going to stay together and go to counseling, and he actually called me from his mother's and let me know that he was not created for marriage and had made a big mistake, and so he ended our marriage. When I went through that, I was 22 when it happened, and I thought, this can't possibly be happening because I have my life planned out, and this isn't a part of it. I'm not sure who let this happen, but it wasn't me. And so I was frustrated and scared and confused because if things like this could happen in my own personal world, then suddenly I wasn't in a bubble. I wasn't insulated from the rest of the things that happened to everyone else in the world. And I thought, you know, who is this guy that lets things like this happen? And who is this guy that I've been laying beside every night for a year and a half? And I have his last name. Do I keep his last name? Do you keep his last name when you get divorced? What do you mean? There were so many questions. And I honestly, I had known that something was going wrong in my marriage. It didn't occur to me to really entertain the idea that adultery had entered my marriage, even though growing up, adultery had ended so many marriages around me. I mean, my dad's first marriage ended in adultery. Several cousins and friends, a couple of aunts. It just didn't occur to me to be on guard.
Yeah, it seems like it's always somebody else, though. It doesn't get real until it hits a lot closer to home.
Exactly, exactly. And even when it did hit my home, I didn't want to say that he's cheating. So what I did was I called my mom. She's an extremely discerning woman. And I called her and I said, you know, there's some things going on, and I just need you to let me know what you think here. Because I was waiting on someone to say, you're being paranoid, or there's nothing going on, it's new marriage jitters, or something along those lines. And she had been privy to a lot of the difficulties I'd been having ever since the beginning of the marriage. So I told her everything that my husband had been doing, and my mother has this phrase that she's always used. And she said, honey, that dog won't hunt. And whenever she says that, I know that's what she says when the story that you're telling just does not add up. So when she said that, I said, he's cheating, isn't he? And she said, yeah, he's cheating. And so when he came home that night, I said, are you cheating on me? And it was all over his face. And he said, I can't believe you'd accuse me of such a thing, and walked off down the hallway. And I thought, okay, well, if you're not willing to have the conversation, thanks for clarifying exactly what's going on here. Yeah. Then he moved out a couple of weeks later on my birthday. And I thought, this just isn't happening. It's simply not happening. I'm too young for this to happen to me because everyone that I had known that it had happened to had been married for 15 and 20 and 25 years. And so I had sort of told myself, well, their marriage grew stale, or they fell out of love, or any of a number of excuses that you hear people say through the years. But this was new. We were still practically newlyweds. And come to find out, he had actually been cheating since we were engaged, and I didn't know it. So the big thing for me was I really, really needed to understand this other woman, because if there are females out there who will go with another woman's husband, I don't understand her, because all I'd ever thought of was this cheap, tawdry, desperate Hollywood cliche of the other woman. But when I thought of that, I thought, well, there's no way my husband would be attracted to that. So those two things don't reconcile in my head. And so I started thinking, well, if she's not that, who is this woman? And maybe if I can understand her, I can prevent this from ever happening to me again. And so I really started delving into trying to figure out how one woman could do this to another woman, could even look at another woman's husband and see that as an opportunity. And when I did that, I realized uncomfortably that I wasn't very far from who she was, because I've messed up a lot in my life and I've allowed Satan to write my story way too many times. Uh-huh. And that's all she had done. It was just when she allowed Satan to write her story, it wreaked havoc in my life. But I've done that to other people, not in this manner, but I've done that to other people. And so I had to get off my high horse and, and realize, you know what, I'm not that much better than she is. I'm not any better than she is.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a misunderstanding. It's so convenient to blast them as just a different kind of woman that has no concern for marriage, or they don't care if they destroy. Usually it starts with little compromises, emotional compromises along the way. And when you continue to do that, then you find yourself gone too far. That could happen to just about anyone if it's unchecked. Is that what you found?
It is. When I was trying to understand, I picked up a book, and it was a nonfiction book of all things. And it was When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, which is a Beth Moore book. I have a lot of respect for Beth Moore, and I've done a lot of her studies. So I grabbed that book because I thought, man, maybe she can tell me how in the world this has happened. And part of that book that really helped was when she pointed out that Satan is a schemer, that he actually, you know, he has nothing better to do than sit around and figure out a 20-year plan that will bring about the ultimate demise of a Christian. What else is he going to do? You know, he's got the time. He might as well use it in a manner that makes him happy, which is destroying Christians. Yeah. And so he knows us. We're very easy to figure out. If you watch someone 24/7, you can figure out their motivations and easily push their buttons.
Yeah.
He starts out with that, perhaps I wasn't meeting the emotional needs of my husband at home. I wasn't praising him enough, or I wasn't spending enough time with him, speaking to him in the way that he speaks love. Satan sees that, and all he does is insert someone into my husband's life that will meet that need. And even if it's just a, hey, you look good today, that seems so innocent in the beginning. It would seem so innocent for me to turn to a man and say, I really like that suit on you. Nothing wrong there. But 6 months later, I'm taking that suit off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth pointed this out in her book. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, I think today I'll become an adulteress.
Right.
It's just that slow plodding step by step until suddenly you look around and go, what did I just do? What just happened? So when I understood that, I thought, you know what? I've done that a lot in my life and caused hurt to people. So if I'm asking God to forgive me when I do it, it's really disingenuous to not forgive her. And in doing that, in understanding her and understanding how this could have happened, it became very easy for me to understand him and how it could have happened to him. It became less about he's betrayed me than, oh my goodness, he's allowed someone else to write his story. And that evokes empathy and sympathy on my behalf because I've been there.
Yeah. Now, did Coming Unglued come about as a result of you going through this journey, or are some of the things you're saying today learned as a result of writing Coming Unglued?
Yeah, I always learn more about the other one. With every interview I give and every person that I talk to, every woman that I talk to who tells me her story that is eerily like mine, the more I really learn about how this could happen. Adultery is rampant in the church. It is shamefully ridiculous how often this happens, which is something. I was working at a mega church when this happened, and I remember the pastor's wife coming to me in my office, and I was so embarrassed because here I am working in a huge church, and my husband's cheating on me. And, of course, the whole staff knew. And she said, we just want you to know that there's no shame here. There's no condemnation here. We will help you get through this if you want to forgive and stay. If you want a divorce, whatever you and God decide that you're going to do, we're going to walk beside you. And that spoke volumes to me because I expected condemnation. I expected there to be snide remarks. I expected people to talk about that girl with the dumb husband who's cheating. And what I've learned is that what I expected really is what's in a lot of churches. That's what these women are telling me when they tell me their stories of, you know, my husband was the song leader and he cheated. My husband was the pastor and he cheated. I hear so many stories of ministry leaders who are doing this, and I just think, oh, my heavens. So when I sat down to write Kendra's story, which is Coming Unglued, I thought, you know, the background of this character uniquely suits her to be that woman who would be at the point in her life to make this decision to commit adultery. So I went to my husband and I said, I think that that's what's supposed to happen in this story, but for me to write that is probably going to affect our marriage because I'm going to have to emotionally go back to those days of my life and have to relive this so that I can inject that emotion into the story. And he had my sweet, sweet husband. He's put up with a lot because when he met me, I was a broken woman who didn't trust anybody further than I could throw them.
Yeah.
And so I said, this might wreak some havoc with us. And he said, well, why do you want to do it if it's going to hurt? And I said, because I'm really tired of hearing women tell me their story and tell me that they can't talk to anybody in their church because it's a taboo discussion. I want them to have a way to talk about it. be open about what Satan's doing in their life so they can defeat him. Let's shine a light on this. And Susan said, well, in that case, you go for it, and I'll pray you through it, and we'll get through this. And so we did. And it was not easy. There were many, many nights I was writing while crying, and my husband's patting my back going, you can do this, you can do this. But we got through it, and now that we're on the other side of it and the healing is coming to a lot of women, it is totally worth every single tear.
You know, and that's one thing. I think as Christians, we're not immune from this. We try to avoid pain, thinking that it'll just go away. Well, sometimes those kind of wounds, it's necessary to journey through some pain so the great physician can heal the wounds in only the way he knows how.
I look at it and I say, while I would not wish what I walked through on my worst enemy, there's no way I would appreciate my husband the way that I do if I didn't know who I could be with instead. And I wouldn't appreciate the life that we have and the children that we have and the fairy tale that God has made of my life. I wouldn't appreciate any of that wonderful blessing if I didn't know what the world had to offer, what I could have instead.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca, I can see this is an area of ministry. You have a passion for this area because we invited you on here to talk about your book, and we have hardly talked about it. Coming Unglued, a novel by Rebecca Seitz. Well, where could they find this?
Any bookstore in America is carrying it because B&H has done a fabulous job of selling to the stores. And then you can also get it online on Amazon.com or ChristianBook.com, any of the booksellers online. You can get it on my website, which is sistersinc.net.
Okay.
Ink is with a K. It's like the ink and a pen.
Okay. So if people wanted to get hold of you, could they get hold of you through that website?
Yeah.
And like we said, we didn't get to talk too much about your book, but I would like to read one thing that you wrote in the acknowledgments at the very beginning. You said, "And for all of you who have lived through betrayal, know that you are not alone. There are millions of us. You will get through this. This is not the end of your story. It is a chapter. Close that page and choose to begin the next. From one who stands pages and pages from that dark time, know that your story can become a fairy tale. You need only to talk to the one, Jesus Christ, who crafts your path. He loves you more than any earthly man ever can or will, and he provides." That's beautiful.
Thank you. It's very true. It's something my mom taught me. We had people give advice to us on our wedding video when I got married to Charlie, and the thing that my mom said is, as much as you love him and he loves you, he can't ever love you any more than Jesus, and don't ask him to, because he'll fail. And it really helped in my marriage to recognize my husband, while I adore him, is not God and cannot be God to me. And that's okay.
Well, listen, we want to give away three of these books. Rebecca, we'll let you decide. We have a message center where somebody can call in. Let's give away three of these books for someone that, what?
Let's definitely give to someone who has gotten through the other side of such a thing. I'm sure there are millions out there.
Yeah.
So if your marriage has broken up, and we joke that we call them starter marriages now, where you've been married for, you know, 1 to 3 years and it ends in adultery. You have to poke fun at things or you'll just cry your heart out. If you've lived through a starter marriage and are on the other side and have found your fairy tale, then you definitely need a copy of Coming Unglued.
Okay. And we'll get that out to the first three people that call and leave a message saying, I want the book Coming Unglued, and then leave your phone number or address. Well, thank you, Rebecca. I really wish we could have just went straight through for an hour, but unfortunately, our program is a half hour, so we'd love to have you back sometime.
I would love to come back.
Well, maybe when we get closer to February. When exactly is the new book coming out?
It ships in January, so it will be in stores, on store shelves in February.
Okay, what's that one about?
That one is about the Chinese-American sister in the Sinclair sister family, and she is having trouble conceiving. And so she is wrestling with the fact that not only does she not know her birth mother because she was adopted, now she's having trouble becoming a birth mother.
Okay. I'm laughing because we talked more about your book coming out in February than we talked about Coming Unglued.
That's okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's been a lot of fun. And we look forward to seeing you all here next time on Radio Friendships, where we love to speak about the great and mighty God and the many ways throughout the world to serve him. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433- 5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.